Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open something that stopped me cold. It's Salman Rushdie's memoir, Knife and Sophie. I have to ask, how do you even begin to process a book like this?
Hi there, Sam. Honestly, this one's heavy, but it's also strangely uplifting. Knife is Rushdie's account of the day he was stabbed on stage in 2022 and how he fought his way back. What gets me is that it's not a book of anger. It's a meditation on survival and love.
Right. And he opens not with the attack, but with the mourning of it. Blue sky, wooden amphitheater, the audience settling in. He's 65, he's lived under a fatwa for over 30 years. But that day, the security was light. He was told to relax, and he did.
And then a man in black runs at him. The attack lasts 27 seconds. Rushdie describes the knife entering his body and his mind splitting into two tracks. One track registers the pain, and the other just watches, thinking, almost calmly, that he's dying.
That split is what got me. It's like the brain's way of protecting itself. He remembers the blood, the chaos, a doctor in the audience coming forward to help. Then he's in a helicopter, and then weeks in a hospital fighting for his life.
But here's the thing. This isn't just a trauma memoir. Rushdie uses the attack to dig into the big questions he's always wrestled with. The power of stories, the nature of evil, and the terrifying intersection of politics and religion.
And he's painfully aware he wasn't a random victim. He was targeted because of words he wrote decades ago. Words that made him a symbol. The fatwa wasn't a distant memory. It was a living force that finally caught up with him.
He reflects on those years of hiding, the constant security, the way it shaped his relationships and his sense of self. He was both famous and invisible, surrounded by bodyguards but profoundly alone. That part is heartbreaking.
And the attacker, Hadi Muttar, he never even read Rushdie's books. He was acting out of a twisted sense of duty, convinced he was serving a higher purpose. Rushdie doesn't demonize him, but he doesn't excuse him either. Understanding isn't the same as forgiving.
Exactly. And the middle section of the book is all about recovery. The surgeries, the infections, the fevers, and the hallucinations. He lost sight in one eye permanently, and he writes about the strange new world where depth perception is a thing of the past.
There were moments of despair, where he wondered if he'd ever write again. But then there were moments of grace. His wife, Eliza, holding his hand, reading to him when he couldn't read. His children, his friends, strangers sending letters from all over the world.
And the psychological aftermath. The nightmares, the flashbacks, the panic when a sudden movement sends him back to that stage. He writes about feeling like he's both the same person and someone entirely different. Touched by death, but somehow still here.
What struck me most is his refusal to become bitter. He could have written a book of pure anger and revenge. Instead, he writes about gratitude, the joy of waking up and being able to breathe, to move, to think, the simple miracle of being alive.
And he turns to storytelling itself as a way to make sense of it all. He writes about the books and myths that have shaped him, how literature lets us see from multiple perspectives. It's a way to resist the simple narratives of good and evil that lead to violence.
There's a long section on the fatwa and the response to it. He's critical of both the extremists who would silence him and the Western commentators who use his case for their own agendas. But he also writes about reconciliation. The Iranian government recently distanced itself from the fatwa, and he sees a glimmer of hope.
Then the final section is about returning to writing. The fear that he'd lost his voice, the false starts, the pages in the trash. And then the moment when the words finally flow again. The relief, the joy, the realization that the attack hadn't taken that away.
And the book itself is proof of that recovery. It's full of his wit and intelligence, even moments of dark humor. He's telling the story of his survival, and maybe it's the most important story he's ever told.
The title, Knife, is perfect. The knife is the instrument of the attack, but it's also a symbol of healing. It can wound, but it can also cut away what's dead and diseased. Rushdie suggests that the attack, terrible as it was, gave him a new perspective. He's been cut open, but also cut free.
There's this dream he describes near the end. He's on stage again, and a man rushes at him with a knife. But this time, Rushdie raises his hand and the knife stops. The man is frozen, and Rushdie looks at him and says, "I forgive you." I got chills reading that.
He doesn't pretend forgiveness is easy, but he suggests it's possible and that it's the only way to break the cycle of violence. The book ends not with a conclusion, but a beginning. He writes about the books he still wants to write, the story still to tell.
And that's what I'm taking away. It's not about the attack. It's about what comes after. The stubborn persistence of creativity. The power of love to overcome hatred. The choice to keep telling stories, no matter what.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app, with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. Knife is a testament to the human capacity for courage and grace, a reminder that even in the darkest moments, we can choose life. We'll see you in the next one.